जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारे, गोपी जन भालाभा गिरिभर धारे, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरा भनचारी, जमुना तीरा भनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन भालाभ गिरिभर धारी, गोपी जन भालाभ गिरिभर धारी, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीर बन छरी, जमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद् हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी Srila Prabhupada ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotara Shatashishimadhi Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Garantarash Shimam Bhagavatam ki. Dai Gaura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 12, Text Number 10, The Perfect Society, Four Spiritual Classes. Kalpaji Twatmana Javat. Abhasan idan Ishwaraha Dvaitanta vanna viramet Tato hyasya viparaja Kalpaji tvatmana javat Abhasan idan Ishwara Dvaitanta vanna viramet Tato hyasya viparaja Kalpaji tvatmana javat Abhasam idan Ishwara Dvaitanta vanna viramet Tato hyasya viparaja Please chant. Tavana javat Abhasani danishraha Dvaitanta vanna viramet Tato hyasya viparyaja Kalpajitvatmana vyavat Abhasam idanishvara Dvaitanta vanna viramet Tato hyasya viparyaja Kalpajitvatmana javat Abhasam idanishvara द्वैतन्तावन्नवीरमेत् ततो ह्यस्य विपार्ययत् कल्पजीत्वा ascertaining positively atmana by self-realization yavat as long as abhasam reflection of the original body and senses idam this the body and senses Ishwaraha, completely independent of illusion. Dvaitam, duality. Tavat, for that long, na, does not, viramet, see, tataha, by such duality. He, indeed, asya, of the person viparyayaha counteraction counteraction translation and purport by his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As long as the living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as he is not independent of the misconception of identifying with the body, with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses, he cannot be relieved of the conception of duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman. Thus, there is every chance that he will fall down because his intelligence is bewildered. Purport. Here's another important warning that a man must save himself from attraction to woman. Until one is self-realized, fully independent of the illusory conception of the material body, the duality of man and woman must undoubtedly continue. But when one is actually self-realized, this distinction ceases. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane gavihastini suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshina. Quote, the humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater, outcast. End of quote. Bhagavad Gita 5:18. On the spiritual platform, the learned person not only give up the duality of man and woman, but also give up the duality of man and animal. This is the test of self-realization. One must realize perfectly that the living being is a spirit soul, but is tasting various types of material bodies. One may theoretically understand this, but when one has practical realization, then he actually becomes a pandita, one who knows. Until that time, the duality continues, and the conception of man and woman also continues. In this stage, one should be extremely careful about mixing with women. No one should think himself perfect and forget the Shastric instruction that one should be very careful about associating even with his daughter, mother, or sister, not to speak of other women. Srila Madhavacharya cites the following shloka in this regard. Bahu tve naiva vashtunam yathartha ज्ञानं उच्यते अद्वैत ज्ञानं इत्येतत् द्वैत ज्ञानं तत् अन्यान् अन्याथा यथा ज्ञानं तथा वास्तु यथा वास्तुस्तथा माति नैव ज्ञातायोर् नैव ज्ञानार्थयोर्वेदास् तथा एकत्वं वेदनम् यूनिटि इन् वैरायटि इस् रियल् नालेज् एण्ड् देर्फोर् गिविङ्ग् अप् आर्टिफिशियलि डस् नाट् रिफ्लेक्ट् पर्फेक्ट् नालेज् आफ् मोनिसम् अकोर्डिङ्ग् टु दि अचिन्त्य वेदभेद तत् according to the Achintya Veda Bheda philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are varieties, but all of them constitute one unit. Such knowledge is knowledge of perfect oneness. Kalpaji tvat manajavat abhasan idan ishvara dvaitan tavan naviramet Tato hyasya viparyaya. As long as the living entity is not completely self-realized, as long as he is not independent of the misconception of identifying with his body, which is nothing but a reflection of the original body and senses, he cannot be relieved of the conception of duality, which is epitomized by the duality between man and woman. Thus, there is every chance that he will fall down because his intelligence is bewildered. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaja Chaksur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatyade Satanine Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripasindhubhyah Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So Narada Muni continues, or is concluding, coming at least coming to the conclusion of this idea of describing the position of a brahmachari. Remember, he is explaining to Maharaj Yudhisthira the description of a perfect society that consists of four varnas and four ashrams. And we already heard his explanation about the four varnas and the different occupations and duties of the different classes in society, including also a nice description of the duties of a husband and a wife. And now he goes on to explain the four ashrams. So he's starting with the brahmachari ashram, which is, you know, the celibate student life that is being trained in the house of the spiritual master, the Gurukula, in the principles of yukta, and the principles of vairagya and vidya. Vairagya and vidya, renunciation and transcendental knowledge. And the description of this traditional, this is, again, this is the ideal society, and is fully supported for a very progressive process of self-realization. So everything is designed and for achieving self-realization in all levels. So it's a wonderful picture of the society. And naturally, There is quite an awareness of the pitfalls of this misidentification of the self with the body. And so again, imagine a society in which the main purpose, the goal of life, is very clearly defined, which is self-realization, meaning to reawaken our spiritual constitution. It goes, is solely for that. So we have the experience of a society that is focused on the conception that we are the body and we're supposed to enjoy the body. We're supposed to enjoy it. We're supposed to make all kinds of arrangements for the satisfaction of the body. The whole society, modern society, or you know, this Kali Yuga type of society, the main focus is the bodily conception of life. So we know that focus, and we know that everything moves around these four necessities of the body: eating, mating, sleeping, and defending. And technology, everything is focused to fulfill those things. In the ideal society, it's different. In the ideal society, the focus was self-realization. So very, very clear awareness of anything that will flare excites this misconception of the self with the body, they had a red flag, a very, very, you know, prominent red flag in this ideal society. So for the training for a brahmachari, a man, in this case, young student, is that the attraction, the natural attraction that happens between man and woman, have to be pretty much controlled. We hear previously, just the end of the last chapter, was the descriptions of the duties of the woman in society. And now we're hearing the duties of students, you know, the renowned students, the training in renunciation and transcendental knowledge for, you know, the young boys. And a very careful awareness of this, because Prabhupada said, he epitomized this duality, the attraction between man and woman, epitomize the material duality, or the condition, the material conditioning, like that. So, very important instruction. So, just also bring to our awareness that how yesterday we had, you know, Nityananda Prana Prabhu give a very wonderful class, and part of the discussion was, you know, the application of those ideals in our modern times, especially, you know, for us, it very much is very important for us to understand how to apply these principles in modern times. In that ideal society, everything was supported and was very natural. in this society, modern society, that things are upside down, then it's something that may not, you know, naturally won't come very naturally like that. So how to apply it? How we can take the principles of that ideal society and apply it very nicely in our, you know, endeavor to actually have a community, a devotional community like that. We appreciating Prabhupada's genius in doing exactly that, designing and establishing a methodology within a community in which, you know, the principles are applied. And the principles that we're talking is in this case, the relationship between man and woman, and as a matter of fact, between man and woman, between everybody, is based on the understanding that we all spirit souls, servants of Krishna. So the elevation of consciousness, or the elevation, the perspective in which we being taught to see things is as spirit souls. I was appreciating very much the quote that Sri Rupa read yesterday on, you know, Mother Jadurani and Mother Govinda Dasi, asking Prabhupada their doubt on when you read all this about the things that says, you know, that women should be avoided and this and that, and they were concerned, and they asked Prabhupada, was a very beautiful quote, they asked Prabhupada, so does this mean that we're never going to have the same opportunity that the brahmacharis have because of our condition, you know, being in this woman body? And Prabhupada's answer was so beautiful. And that is the principle that we have to cultivate. The principle, Prabhupada's answer was, you know, if you see yourself as a woman, if you identify with the body, then that is the cause of all troubles. That the same applies to any living entity. The identification with the body. But you're not the body. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. And as eternal servant of Krishna, we all have the same potential and capacity. And that is the point of this verse, that that the warning is there that we have to come to self-realization. We have to come to the position of become realized that we're a spirit soul and we're not a material body. Because as long as that conception is there, that this misconception is there, will be affected by the duality of this material world. And Prabhupada and Narada Muni said, thus there is every chance to fall down. So it's a very strong warning. So unless one becomes self-realized, you can fall down. So then, what is our hope? Self-realization is the goal that we have, but, you know, is very, at least I can say for myself, and maybe, you know, some of us feel the same way, that, you know, it's very far to become free from this identification of the body. And so what to do? The process is given. Actually, I just went with reading, by reading this, I just remember that some very nice questions were placed by Vidura when Vidura made Maitreya. In the third canto, there is this description. Vidura met Maitreya Muni, and he asked these very wonderful questions that were very much relevant to what we're talking today. Vidura was trying to understand, you know, the spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna. As a part and parcel of Krishna, he has the same qualities of Krishna. Sachidananda vigraha, Sachidananda. And so, full of knowledge, full of bliss, and eternity. So, how is it possible that that the spirit soul becomes bewildered by illusion? And not only that, it's not only that the spirit soul in this material world is, you know, is of that quality, Satchitananda. And the super soul is next to him. So in such a close association with the super soul, the supreme personality of Godhead, how is it possible that it is covered by this illusion? It's a very nice set of questions. This is in the third canto, chapter 7, and the beginning of that chapter, Vidura asks this series of questions about how is it possible? And Maitreya Muni, you know, explains that he started to explain because of the misuse of the living entity's free will. But he says something very important that that is very relevant for us, that misconception, this is the translation, quote, "but that misconception of self-identity can be diminished gradually by the mercy of the personality of Godhead, Vasudev, through the process of devotional service to the Lord in the mode of detachment." This is Canto 3, Chapter 7, text number 12. It's a gradual process. It's a gradual process, but you have to remain in the process. And you have to cultivate practicing the process in the mode of detachment. And as a process, you know, there is instructions, there's things that one has to follow to be able to be within the process. But two very important words here, gradually and the mode of detachment. So let's see, what does it mean by engaging in devotional service in the mode of detachment? Meaning that we have to cultivate, or at least get into this very conscientious endeavor to try to eliminate one's bodily conceptions. Nidananda Prana also mentioned it yesterday, but I've been listening to My spiritual master, he gave a very wonderful class on the Festival of the Holy Name in New Jersey. You were there, Shirupa, no? On chanting without upadis, right? Chanting without upadis. Without upadis. Upadis means designations. And the whole process that we've been given by Lord Chaitanya is to purify ourselves from those misconceptions, the misconceptions of the with identifying with the body. And the body, we give to the body different designations. And those designations, they can pile up. So the exercise that my spiritual master was presenting in this class of when you do your chanting, you make a very conscientious endeavor to eliminate the upadis. And he gave this very nice exercise. And it is very clever because it's very graphic. When we chant, all these designations, the mind is already pretty much attached to all these different conceptions. Conceptions is what is right now sort of like engulfing our heart, our consciousness. So our meditation, our mind is constantly absorbed in these different types of designations that we have. So suppose I'm thinking, okay, I have this designation. I am a manager. So, and as a manager, I have all these different activities that I have, things that I have to manage. So I'm absorbing myself in that designation. And I'm constantly meditating and thinking all the different aspects that I have to sort of cover with that type of designation. So my mind is fully absorbed, and like that, all these different designations, my mind is taken to this one and to that one. In the language of the Bhagavad Gita is Bahushaka. My intelligence is Bahushaka. Bahushaka means it's many branched. So many things. Each one of these things is attached to a particular designation. So when I'm chanting, my mind automatically wants to go to these different things. So we find ourselves that while chanting it seems that it's a very suitable time to figure it out how to, you know, resolve these different things. The mind wants to go there. So I find myself chanting Hare Krishna, I'm hearing, and all of a sudden I start to think, oh, yes, I have to cook this. I'm going to mix this and that. I'm going to use this. I'm going to cut it this way. Oh, then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then, you know, then he goes, and then all of a sudden I remember that, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to clean the ashram and then make sure that the brahmacharis, and then, okay. And, you know, it goes like that. The absorption of the mind. So then my Guru Maharaj, he said, okay, when you capture the mind going like that, try to recognize which upadi that belongs to, and make a conscientious effort to eliminate it, to actually take it out of the way. And obviously, there's two very important things, you know, that we have to understand in this process of a devotional service. One is who we are not and who we are. So who we are not is a We are not. Is that all these designations of the body, but we have to understand who we are, and that has to be placed in front. Who we are is Jivera, Swarupahoi, Krishnera, Nityadas. We are an eternal servant of Krishna. So recognize making this effort to trying to chant without upadis. So you try to recognize it, eliminate it, and put forward, I'm a servant. I'm a servant of Krishna. And that is the definition of performing devotional service in a mode of detachment. Detaching yourself from all these misconceptions. So that process applies equally to each one of the devotees, regardless of, you know, what gender or what, you know, body we have. So seeing oneself as an eternal servant of Krishna. So when a society, when our community, devotional community, are now focusing on that principle, then the natural, the result is a similar result of the ideal society. We also, during the classes before, we appreciated Prabhupada's genius that he gave to, in this environment that is completely contrary to self-realization, he established a whole foundation of a community, of a society, that the result will be of individuals that are naturally cultivating and developing the qualities that were there in the ideal society. So, in the ideal society, you know, although there is this old warnings that, you know, one should avoid association, between man and woman, that doesn't eliminate, you know, the principles of respect, appreciation, and kindness, love, because we see in those ideal societies that there were, all those relationships were there. There were relationships between parents and children. There were relationships between husband and wife. There were relationships. There were, all those relationships were there, but they were very harmonious based on the principles of transcendental knowledge, you know, the principles that we are spirit souls, in the principles of respect, on the principles of renunciation, like that. So it was a very peaceful, happy, prosperous society. And when we build a society, when we build a community, and we have individuals trying to making a conscious effort to actually elevate oneself to the position of understanding, seeing each one as a servant of Krishna, and respecting each one as a servant of Krishna. That's another definition of detachment. Actually, the definition of detachment also is that everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. Nothing is mine or for me to enjoy. Everything is Krishna's and meant from Krishna's enjoyment. So when we see everybody as a devotee of Krishna, that belongs to Krishna, and then, you know, the perspective completely changes. Then we are, you know, there's the respect that this is the property of Krishna. And what is Krishna's is worshipable. You know, just like we respect Krishna's paraphernalia, we respect Krishna's devotees, similarly, like that. So then you approach everything in the mode of detachment. It's not mine, it's Krishna's. So doing this gradually, one actually is able to come to this position of self-realization. Otherwise, if we are not within the protection of the process of devotional service, then there's no chance. There's no chance of being able to withstand this the influence of the material world, the dualities of the material world, the verse explains about this dvaitam tavat nabiramet, that one will become basically victimized by these dualities. And what is this duality? The Bhagavad Gita tells that these dualities, they manifest, it's defined. What is this duality? Icha dvesha samutena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammohan sarge janti parantapa. That these dualities are icha dvesha, hate, desire and hate. Bewildered by the dualities arising from desire and hate, thus when the living entity becomes delusion. That's the reason that even though we are of the same quality of Krishna with Satchitananda, when we become bewildered by this duality of desire and hate. And what is this desire? I want to take the position of Krishna. And what is this hate? That I don't like. You can have two Krishnas. You can have two, supreme enjoyers. You have to have one, so Krishna should be eliminated. So it's like the competition of the king of the hill. You can have two kings of the hill, you know, that's the play that they also play. We also played in South America. I don't know if they play. Do they play in Ukraine? Same thing, no? That you go, you know, there's one on the top, and then the other one's just trying to knock him down. And then you're on the top, and then someone else. But there cannot be two on the top. Eh? So you desire the position, you have to knock down the one who is in the position. So that brings the living entity into delusion. So that duality cannot be overcome unless there is one is in the process of devotional service. And is a very, you know, very formidable, difficult thing to overcome. That historically in the shastras we hear of great personalities, powerful yogis, that they were victimized and by these dualities. And Narada Muni says that it's epitomized by the attraction between man and woman. And we have the case of Vishwamitra Muni, who was enticed by the ankle bells of what was the Menaka or Menaka, yes. She was sent to disrupt. I think Indra usually does that. She sends, you know, this beautiful, the most beautiful heavenly damsel, Menaka, to disturb the meditation of Vishwamitra Muni, and then she just have to tinkling, 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 tinkling. And then Vishwamitra Muni, hearing the tinkling, he got finished. That's it. He fell down from his meditation. And we have the example of Saubara Muni, that he even saw a heavenly lady, even more like Prabhu. How? Please. He was meditating under the water for thousands of years. He was such a powerful yogi, in full perfect meditation under the water, perfect control. He just happened to be distracted. He felt something touch him. And then as he's opening his eyes, he said, two fishes mating. Two fishes mating. I mean, two little fishes, you know. And that was it. Finish. That's the power of that attraction. So what to speak of little me? What hope a Kali Yuga fellow have about this? There's absolutely no hope. So the only thing that have is you know, Daibi Hiesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. Duratyaya, this word that is unsurmountable. The material energy of the Lord is so powerful that it's impossible to overcome. But by the mercy of the Lord, by the mercy of the Lord, if one state, Mama Maya Duratyaya, how's it go? Devi Heshe Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya, Mam Evaishashe Kunteya, Man Evaisha Prapadyante, Mayan Etan Tarantite. That if we surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then by His mercy, it becomes possible. So that's the position, the safe position of taking to the process that Krishna has given of performing devotional service. And then we have the examples of the two examples. Well, this example of was quoted also the other day, I think, during the Sunday class, Nityananda Prana Prabhu presented the example of Haridas Thakur, who also, we saw the play on Sunday. He was actually two times he was tested. One time by the most beautiful expert prostitute, and Haridas Thakur was unmoved. And to the fact that the prostitute became, you know, as, you know, powerful, influential devotee as almost as Haridas Thakur himself. So And he one time was also tested by Maya Devi herself, the material energy. Herself personified came to try to distract Haridas Thakur. He was unmoved. And we saw the example also of Indra, this time sending Cupid and Cupid's entourage, which was of Cupid, had this mystic power of creating this illusion of, you know, the attraction between man and woman. So he went, he sent to distract Naranarayan Rishi of their meditation, and then it comes Cupid with his entourage of, you know, heavenly damsels doing their, you know, dance and, you know, twinkling, twinkling and things like that, and doing this amazing display of, you know, it's like completely attractive. And then from Naranarayan Rishi, then a display of, then from the body emanated, you know, some, a whole display of even millions of times more beautiful manifestations of damsels that were, you know, just showing. This was so beautiful that Cupid just became completely like, oh my God, bewildered. So they can understand this. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the power of devotional service, under the protection of the Lord, then anything can, you know, won't be protected like that. So in our case, the protection, I think Krishna Archana mentioned it, you know, in a class the other day, the protection that we have is the instructions of the spiritual master. Taking shelter on the instruction of the spiritual master, taking shelter on the program that the spiritual master has given us, and trying very conscientiously to apply the instructions of the spiritual master and apply the process of cleansing oneself, then we'll be protected against this heavily onslaught of, you know, the dualities of the material world, and we can gradually progress to self-realization, very, very safely progressing towards self-realization. So I stop here. Any comment or questions? Jai Baladev.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You made some wonderful points. One point I was appreciating, we hear from the like Shastras that worse than discharging semen is discharging aparas. Because you one verse from Bhagavatam that I appreciate in this regard, and it's kind of encouraging, is from fifth canto, chapter 12, verse 12. It says, even if one performs brahmachari, all the ashrams perfectly, even brahmachari, still one is not a one doesn't oblige the Lord to come down, and one cannot understand the absolute truth by performing all these, only by seeking the mercy of great devotees. And one loses it by, you know, committing aparas. And my question is related to one pastime you mentioned, the Sobari Muni pastime. Sobari Muni, who was attracted to the fish, and the reason he was attracted to fish, not because, it was attractive, but because I can understand if he saw, you know, like maybe lions mate, they're similar to humans, but that's why the Lord made him like attracted to fish, because who's attracted to that? No one. But the reason he was attracted was not because it was attractive, but because he committed aparad against Garuda, and then the Lord inspired that lust within him. And we see Hiranyakashipu, he was a brahmachari for 10 million years performing all austerities, but he couldn't perform one austerity of respecting Prahlad when Prahlad said, you know, you're a rascal. So then he wanted to kill him. And that's what caused his fall down. So my question is basically like, a lot of times the emphasis is don't do sense gratification. But also vengeance is a sense gratification. It feels something that feels good at first, but is detrimental to the end. So how important is it to, first of all, not be discouraged by all one's, let's say, traditional ideologies of sense gratification, but to be more focused on avoiding the untraditional ideology of sense gratification, like vengeance. So, like vengeance, getting revenge, criticizing, fault finding, committing apparats. So a lot of times we're like embarrassed, or I don't, you know, let me avoid the traditional form of sense gratification. But that's not really necessarily what causes us fall down, because we're already fallen. We're in a material world. That ship has sailed already. So so how does, can you maybe elaborate on the point of avoiding the non-traditional conception of sense gratification, like committing Vaishnava Parag, because that's the reason Sobari Muni fell down. Not because it was attractive, but because he criticized Garuda, you know, for eating fish. And then the Lord inspired that lust within his heart. So
my first thought is that it's not very satisfactory. I mean, vengeance and all those things is not much of sense gratification. It's more like, you know, the people, the sense, I think of sense gratification as something that is gratifying, that, you know, it makes you happy. Yeah, I guess, you know. That's good. Yeah, you're right. I guess, you know, when you hear of sense gratification, I guess in the mode of ignorance, you know, it's like pure suffering, you know, in reality. But altogether, is what's it? Why not? We're giving this chance. You see, we're given by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we come to have a perspective of life that gives us, you know, the opportunity to become free from all this mess of duality. So, you know, it's like giving some water to someone who is dying in the desert, like that. I may be so delusioned that I'm thinking, you know, that I'm, you know, chewing these thorns and I'm enjoying, you know, because the taste of blood is nice, but I'm suffering like anything. And then now, by the grace of the devotee, I'm being able to see that, you know, wow, this is just suffering. And by the grace of the devotee, now I'm become aware that, wow, I'm conditioning to do this stuff that is just, you know, creates all this suffering. So, you know, now that I'm aware of that, you know, I'm just grateful. You know, gratitude, just having gratitude for what we're receiving. You know, rather, and that puts everything in such a perspective. You know, I'm grateful, and with gratitude, I'm just, you know, I'm not, gratitude just help us being humble. Because I'm in the receiving end. I'm in the receiving end of something so wonderful, so kind. So why not embracing that mood? Why not, you know, just taking, just for once, just take me. Just give yourself to the devotee and let the body take you. You know, we can go on and go on, and it's almost get caught in this wheel of, you know, like, this is causing this, and this is causing this, and why this is causing this, and this is causing this, and, oh, you know, if I'm doing this, oh, they're doing that, or, you know, I'm trying this, or they're trying that, and then we can go for, it's forever, it doesn't stop, you know, till when? Like, at one point, it's like, okay, no more. You know, just I'm personally, I tell you my realization and something that I'm so grateful about it. There is nothing more wonderful that can happen to anyone that to be under the shelter of a devotee, of a great devotee. Because it's almost like you take, you know, a huge boulder out of your back. To be under that protection of the spiritual master, and have the spiritual master just being able to give you the guidance and the protection. Just the spiritual master taking a vow in front of Krishna to actually take care of you and elevate your consciousness back to the Krishna's lotus feet. Imagine just that. Imagine just that moment in which this, you know, elevated devotee takes that vow. You know, what is our position? Well, just to be grateful and just give ourselves, you know, to that. And so, rather, you know, once we caught ourselves, we caught ourselves being completely taken by this, you know, mind, you know, being attached to this conception. Revenge and all that stuff, all these things that have to do with sense gratification, that's just simple, the recognizing ourselves with what we're not, with this body. So why not, you know, trying to apply Lord Chaitanya's method of taking shelter on the holy name, taking shelter of the devotees, taking shelter on, you know, devotional service, and try to recognize ourselves for who we are, which is an eternal servant. Use the process to cleanse ourselves from these misconceptions. You know, under the protection and the guidance of the devotee. So my heart just prays for fully taking that shelter. So just go for that. Forget about that, you know, all what is the mind, you know, saying or saying, and you just take shelter of Prabhupada and those who are Prabhupada's, you know, Prabhupada's representatives who can give you, you know, Prabhupada and give you, you know, the opportunity to assist Srila Prabhupada's mission, you know, with their guidance. Anyway. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay. Grantarashiman Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.